Welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me tonight, fingering his dune bucket,
that's right,
is Marty. How are you doing tonight, pervert?
I am good, Mr. DJ.
Mr. DJ.
Well, with the soundboard, it's kind of cool.
I need like some turntables.
Right,
like,
yeah, quickie. Yeah.
So what you want?
I'm okay, man. It's I don't know. Weather's been fucked up.
But. Yeah. Oh, speaking of screwed up weather, I have no news articles in front of me to read tonight, like I normally do. Wild. But nothing's really happened. There hasn't been any gas line explosions, more bridge attacks, 6 inches of rain in Dubai in less than 24 hours.
Right, right. Well, there's been a lot of weird weather, even leading up before that. Even before we got to Vegas, there was a long stint of heavy rains, which is really rare in that area. Because, you know, it's a desert for a reason.
Yeah.
But there's just been
have you seen the videos of Dubai?
No, I have not actually.
I don't know. I watched it. Like, if you go on Instagram or X or whatever we're on, and they have a video. It's a collage of different videos from different people.
Gotcha.
And there's like lightning, heavy torrential downpours. And like you have like these rich Arab guys with their Rolls Royce flooded out in the middle of a street, fucking water up to the top of their door.
Oh, yeah.
And the creepiest thing, I don't know, I think this pilot should have his license revoked.
Oh.
It's a Dubai airliner. And you see him just powering through, just pushing this jet, and it's like up to the bottom of his engines.
Oh my God.
And he's just, it looks like, that was at one point, it looks like it's a fucking boat.
Really?
I'm like, does he think he's going to take off in this or what?
We got to get the hell out of here.
You ain't going anywhere,
this is the end of the world. Get the hell out of here. Where's drier than us? I don't know.
There's all types of comments on that feed for that video.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, it's definitely climate control. Well, I agree with what this one lady said. She said just like 6 hours earlier, there was in Afghanistan and Pakistan, there was a huge storm, and this went that way.
Right.
And they're like, a lot of people got hurt in Afghanistan and Pakistan and all that. It's just like the same storm system.
Yep. Yeah, it's just an oddball, weird thing, I'm sure, coming off one of the oceans.
Oh, yeah. And also, you got to look at it, too. That place used to be very lush and tropical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was its original.
Maybe this is the start of this cycle.
Right, right. Yeah, we're heading back into a polar shift again.
Yeah. That's what that was mentioned quite a bit. Like,
there's been a lot of people predicting that at any time, the big picture, anytime coming up, which could be anywhere in the next
thousand years,
you know, but big picture, yeah, relatively close. But yeah, no, they're, like I said, there's a lot of theories that's actually what happened to Antarctica was how it ended up down there was the last polar shift because the whole thing is surrounded by tectonics and the polar shift screwed everything up and shot it down that far. And now there's ice.
My question is, where would South Dakota end up?
I
kind of worry about that because if it does happen, I'm in South Dakota.
Right. Well, I think
I'm
all
not
the
built
other,
for the heat. I'm all, fat.
Right. All the other bullshit that will come along with that, I don't think we really need to worry about where we're going to end up.
So yes, we do. Yeah, think about the children.
Right. No, I don't care about the children. I'll be honest with you. It don't matter.
And there's
I'm gone. I don't care.
So you're telling me about this NPR piece. You got to tell me about this.
No, NPR this week. Anybody who doesn't know is National Public Radio, basically. It is a tax-funded, they don't do just political stuff. They do all kinds of things. But they are very political-minded. Well, the last few decades, they've become very left-wing. And along with a lot of left-wing thinking that you have now, everyone is pretty much, we want everybody to get along. You can think what you want, you know, be who you are as long as you agree with us or we'll shut you down. their main editor-in-chief kind of guy did an op-ed. Now, that does not stand for opinion editorial. It is oppositional editorial, basically where you're taking a devil's advocate to a mainstream thought in wherever you're at. Say your newspaper is this way. An op-ed is going to take the opposite stance on it and just give this article. And he basically came out and did an op-ed on how the NPR has become very anti-open thought, where basically everyone there has to have the same mentality and thinking. And it's kind of ridiculous and oppressive that, that this is how they're doing things. It's everyone has to agree with our way of thought or it's wrong. And the board of NPR then suspended him for disagreeing with how they think, thereby proving the exact point he was trying to make. When I heard this yesterday, I think this came out like yesterday. I laughed so goddamn hard. I'm like, are you serious right now? That is exactly what he is saying. And you have just proved it by going, you can't say that. That's not what we agree with. You're out of here for a while. They're not fired. I mean, that may come down quietly down the road. But right away, they're like, you're on suspension right now. You can't say these kind of things on NPR. The taxpayer-funded, you know, fucking open market radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just hilarious. I was like, there's just no self-awareness with some of these people when they say things. And that goes both ways, both sides. Anybody in power anywhere, whether you're right or left-leaning, there is really no self-awareness to what they do or say anymore, to just how ridiculous they are. You know, it's like, just step back and think for a minute, the things you're just saying right now. Just...
Well, by the time this airs, hope we'll know if this bill passed or not. There's a bipartisan bill going through Congress right now to send $90 billion to some foreign country.
There's three of them, actually.
Oh,
They announced that today. They are pushing three different ones through, taking votes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on three different votes for money go other places.
I don't understand that. I truly don't. This is not a political podcast. You all know that, but.
We do lean into those things on occasion.
Yeah, because this is ridiculous. This is just wasting our money for something that a perfect example. We could be wasting that money on infrastructure, bridge go boom.
Right.
Where did all that money go for that? Well, let's add to a different country because they supposedly need it.
Yeah.
We could be spending it on our stuff here to make it better here.
Well, like I said, last year we had the great, I will put in quotes, Newsom of California declaring that in the next 5-6 years, everyone's going to have to go off of fucking gas vehicles. Everybody has to do electric. The very next week, they don't have enough power to control everything in the state because our infrastructure is not there to provide enough electricity.
Yep.
And told all those same people who have already gotten electric vehicles that, hey, don't recharge your vehicles this week because we don't have the power to do that. Oh, but we're going to turn the entire country over to electric. The infrastructure's not there. No. That is money that we could probably better well spend than
if we want to be. If we want to go countries. All electric in that, there has to be, because, well, a lot of people, like in California, they forget that electricity is produced by coal.
They don't forget. They don't. They're just oblivious to it. Well, they're on the electric vehicle thing. Now, I think in the future, that is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are not there. No, that is straight up just a fact. As much as they want to push it, and a lot of our car companies took a massive loss this last year, and it was because of the force into the EV.
Well, it still doesn't sound...
And nobody's buying them.
But it still doesn't... Like, Dodge is putting on a new truck, electric. They're promoting that.
Because they're being paid to push
And they're also pushing this electric semi.
Yep.
And I'm thinking... And it's just blowing past all these diesel semis. I'm like, has that enclosed trailer? It's got And I'm like... Is there anything in the trailer?
Right.
Or is it just an empty...
Well, part of the problem, too, is there are a lot of places, different cities that have tried. There are companies, larger companies in this different cities across the country that said, yeah, we're going to switch all of our delivery trucks to EVs. And the cities have said, no, you're not. We don't have the power structure to do that. We don't have the electricity for you to maintain an entire fleet of vehicles on electric. Mm-hmm. That sounds fine and dandy, but we cannot fucking handle it. All three of the major U.S. ones last year basically posted a loss, and a lot of it boils down to their push to EV, which they have been getting subsidized to do, and nobody is buying them. The problem is people are not buying
them. They're as expensive as a regular gas vehicle.
They're more expensive. Typically, they are more expensive than your gas vehicle. My takeaway from it is I look at the head of Toyota, who, let's be honest, is probably the largest car company in the world, has flat out said, yeah, we're not getting rid of gas vehicles because the world is not ready to do that yet. We have EVs available, But we are not just abandoning all of our gas vehicles because the world can't fucking do that.
I like to know how they
so
do that.
So we're going to keep making Corollas.
I have a serious question. Either I'm really dumb, that's a good possibility, or how the hell are they going to do that with jet planes? I truly want to know how you make an electrical flying intercontinental jet.
Well, they do have like some prototype electric fighter jets that they've been working on. But they're still not getting any of the bugs worked out of those either. They
it has a flight radius, 200 miles?
Yeah. They've got a good, better radius than that for flight, but they just can't. They just don't have enough power as far as how heavy the batteries and everything have to be.
See, that's another thing,
that's
too.
That's the problem.
Because the batteries, you can't even allow to bring lithium batteries on airplanes.
No.
What kind of batteries are you going to use?
Right.
Beryllium?
It's wild.
Or solar. It's going to be a solar-powered airplane. Right. Once it takes off, solar panels come out, and you better hope it's not cloudy when you're flying. At night.
But yeah, it's... Like I said, in the future, that is.
I understand. I'm not banging on this. No, but we're just not, like you said, we're just not ready for this yet.
No, like I said, here
we
are.
It's an awesome idea. It's an awesome concept. They've got proof of concept.
Yeah.
But they need to back it up, and basically $90 billion would put a lot to put electrical infrastructure.
Right. And
that'd be a hell of a thing.
That's what it goes back to, is we don't have the infrastructure to power all of this. It's great in theory, but if you keep throwing money away at shit that probably shouldn't. I will say there is a European country that's been collecting a whole lot of money from us, and there is no accountability to where that's going. And every 3 months, they're like, hey, we need more money because we can't get bullets. We've already given you $13 billion. Where'd that go? We don't know. no fucking accountability for where it's gone, what it's been spent on. And here
it's all for the best, Marty. Right. It's all for the best.
You know, you're only, like, for the last how many years been rated, like, in the top five for most corrupt countries in the fucking world. But, yeah,
Marty,
let's just give you a blank
that?
Check. I don't care anymore.
I know.
We'll just give you a blank check, and you fill out what you need.
All right, podcast over. You can't say something like that.
We're probably canceled at this point.
Whatever.
But, yeah, no, it fucking boggles my mind. The amount of problems we have here, and you're just going to, well, we got to throw money to these guys. No, fuck if we don't. I'm sorry. I'm not a xenophobe. Where I'm like, close all our borders, because we know that doesn't work either.
No.
But you got to reel some shit back in at some point and be like, okay, we got to get our shit together, guys, before we start giving you more
this
money.
This has been said during the 80s.
Yeah, for decades. Like, yeah. Sorry, a lot of you guys still owe us money. When are we getting that back? Yeah, we don't have it. Yeah, we know you don't.
See,
but you want more. Okay, let's give you that.
My whole thing is, like, a lot of these countries, they owe us. Well, we owe China a lot, and other countries owe us. I'm like,
right.
This is going to sound really warmongery. I'm sorry, folks. But all our troops are in these foreign countries, and they haven't paid us, and we're the ones keeping the police force.
Right.
Like, hey, you got 30 days to pay us, or everything is gone, including vehicles and everything.
Yeah, we start moving
but
any
But the government
civilians.
Does not work that way. I understand that.
Right.
That's just the practicality. I'm like...
Right. Yeah. See, that's why I don't get put in charge, because I would be overthrown or killed very quickly, because I have like a very fine line of like, okay, this is how it is. You don't like it? Sorry, I'm in charge. This is not how this is going to work anymore.
That reminds me of, like, you're talking about, we did a social experiment. I went to school beyond high school.
Yeah.
They had a thing, like, they elected certain people presidents.
Oh, yeah.
And I got elected president. It was my turn. And they figured it out. I would have been assassinated within 24 hours.
I would be sworn in. I would, because I, like I said, I have a very, very thin line of bullshit that I'm willing to tolerate. It's like, okay, all this stuff is stopping. Yep. Here's the new rules putting in. If you don't want to live with those, maybe you don't make it. That's how this works. You know, it's a horrible thing. But
that's where I got one of my classmates. You're a warmonger. I'm like, no, I'm not.
I'm practical.
Like, yeah, it's different, but...
Yeah, I'm a realist, and this is how shit's got to get back on
track. Let's get out this government thing. It's quite annoying, because it's not going to change unless something drastic happens, like we all say. But and last week, we talked about the Bigfoot sighting up in Northeast here.
Yes.
And that got a lot of traction. I was looking at Bigfoot, South Dakota. There's been a lot of posts on it. It's like with any type. There's some negative posts up there. But I told the people, and I know they listen to this, but they won't hear this till next week. I appreciate the people coming out to tell us their story. It's not a story, I need to clarify, of the incident of what they saw.
Right.
Because what happened is I went to work and this guy approached me about, he knows I listen to weird things. He's like, yeah, did you hear about that? And I said, yeah. And I said, well, what do you think about it? I said, well, I took the report. I personally know these people.
Right.
And he's like, really? And I'm like, you believe in that stuff? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, that's kind of neat because like a few years ago in the same area, a very similar incident happened to him and a buddy in a truck.
Yeah.
And he says, I know for a fact. And he's like, I know it wasn't a wolf, a cougar, or a bear. Right. And the one thing that really stuck on my mind, he says, it had brown hair, brown fur, he wasn't sure, but it moved like a monkey.
Yeah.
And I asked him, how big was it? He goes, about the size of an orangutan, he guessed, or a very large chimpanzee.
Right.
But he said it had that same locomotion as a monkey. He said, instantly, as soon as he saw it, he thought monkey.
That's wild.
But he's writing out him and his, but he's trying to contact his friend.
Yep.
And they're going to write out a report. So hopefully next week I can read that on the air because he already said, yeah, go ahead and read it. Cause
heck yeah.
This guy's a no-nonsense guy too.
Right. Yeah, no. You messaged me the other day about that and I was like, what? What the hell?
Yeah, up in that same general area is where the Bristol one was seen.
Yep. I think we are planning sometime this summer running up around that area.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of get a look, kind of the area, kind of what it looks like. And
you guys may have to go on to Rumble and see our channel because we're going to see how bad my video editing is.
our videography skills.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we're going to go up there, kind of check out the area, kind of see the lay of the land. I mean, both of us have been around that area, so we get an idea kind of what the terrain is like. But to really actually just kind of get full eyes on where this is at. Because like I said, they know exactly where it was at. They've told us exactly where it was at.
Yep, and I found it on Google Earth.
Yep, yep, so you can get out there.
And yes, I'm sorry, I put in there was pasture land. No, it was more of like fields/duck pond area.
Yeah, kind of a slewy field.
There was a guy that was on there. I read it like the first day after they posted it. I'm not reading this guy's comment. I'm like, I just wanted to type something, but I'm like, no.
Yeah, don't.
But actually, Chris from Bigfoot South Dakota reached out to me, and he made sure that he knew that the witnesses that saw this, he's like, hey, don't read the comments. There's always dickheads out there. He didn't say that. I'm just paraphrasing. Don't take the comments. And I'm like, they're not too worried about it because I'm like, I know these people.
Right.
They're not lying because there's like, oh, she's on drugs. They're on drugs or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, for the profession they're in, they can't really do any of that stuff.
Right. So. Yeah. It's certain things in life dictate you're not available to do those.
Yeah. But like, if any of our listeners, we have this Bigfoot topic here shortly, but any of our listeners, contact us on Instagram, we're on X, Twitter, email address. I'll probably add on this episode because we've got a different email now. So I can't get into our Gmail account.
Weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I'm getting a new one.
And also go check out Subconscious Rising. Yep. Subconscious Realms. Yeah. Yeah.
Realms, and then he does another.
Yeah, but we were just on there last. Yeah, he actually put the episode out. We were with General. So
did he finally get it?
He finally got it.
Yeah, all right. So I was like, man, I don't want to redo that again because I don't even remember what all we.
You don't remember half the stuff.
I don't remember what we talked about through part. I do remember it, but
if we had to do it, we have to go back to Vegas. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
That's the only way we could do it. We have to go back to Vegas.
I had to be sitting in the hotel and
same hotel room, everything, same conditions, same time of day.
Right. Just to preserve the authenticity. We'll struggle through and do it. Just for you,
just
General.
A little struggle.
Just for you, General. The
phone's getting heavy.
phone was...
Well, we're going to jump back into Project Mannequin. We're going to go with... This is part two, and we're going to start on chapter two.
Yeah. The rest of these chapters actually go by quick. There's some of it you just kind of...
Yeah, I highlighted the whole thing again.
Yep.
We'll probably get through a few chapters tonight.
Yeah, it's...
Well, chapter two, that's James Casbolt. That's who we're talking about still. And this is all his experiences as, what did he call himself? Like, just ultra soldier type thing?
Yeah, he was an ultra. But yeah, he's basically... He's not one of the sleeper agents, but there are other people that are.
Yeah.
But basically, it's overview. It's a whole program of people being kidnapped, tortured, mind controlled basically to become assassins, do wet work.
Yep.
And plenty of other things as the story goes on that they're supposed to be involved with. But yeah, no, it's in, and a lot of it is blocked away in memories.
Yep.
And his started coming out. According to his story, basically a lot of these people either die by accident.
Yep.
There's a lot of suicide with these people that are supposedly in these, and usually around their 30s, because around their 30s is when some of these walls start breaking down mentally and they start remembering.
Yep. And it either drives them to drug and alcohol and that. So
yeah,
he mentions all this in the next few chapters.
Yep. It's a lot of downward spirals once these things start breaking down.
All right. Well, let's start off here. So these are his words, not mine, folks. I am considered a military genius by certain members of the intelligence apparatus for my high level of accuracy in remote viewing vectors. I have recently completed RV work for the Illuminati, for my Illuminati contact, in a section of British intelligence. My vector's intention was set to two locations: NSA headquarters at Fort Meade, Maryland, an underground facility in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, an underwater NATO facility off the coast of Corfu, Greece, and the Chrysanthemum underground biogenetics facility in Dulce, Mexico. Now, I've never heard of the Corfu one in Greece.
No.
But that'd be really cool if we had an underwater NATO facility.
Yeah, right.
But the Oak Ridge one, there's been a lot of talk about that. That's a collider.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of weird stories coming out of there. Like, if you go to the confessionals with Tony Merkel.
Oh, yep.
He talks about that because he's in that neighborhood.
Yep.
And he's talking about Oak Ridge and all that.
And for anybody who doesn't know, when he says RV work, that is remote viewing.
Yep. Sorry.
For anybody who doesn't know. What that referred to. It wasn't, you know, working on recreational vehicles.
It was RVs.
Fixing this thing up in Greece.
The reason he was doing this, because he says, my files are stored in secure NASA facilities at Ashburn in Devon in the UK, Fort Meade, Maryland, and a facility in Utah. My Umbra files are stored at a facility in Linville, North Carolina. The remote viewing section I vectored on British intelligence was actually the secure vault at Fort Meade where the Class 8 files are kept. These vaults contain hardware so advanced it can detect remote viewers entering through tiny fluctuations in air and then disable them with electromagnetic scalar waves. The people running the AL-499 facility in Berkshire and the connected underground bases are a hard-line military regime that is ultimately a religious cult centered around corrupt Zionists and Rosicrucians. There we go. Thank you. These places are religious centers where so-called black magic rites are performed, ancient deities worshipped, and children trained in sacrifice. Black magic is the oldest form of military technique known to man. See, I can believe all that stuff. I really can.
That's part of the problem with some of this is there's a lot of other conspiracies that are kind of based around mass child abduction, moving of children, and all these things tie in. And when he's writing this, a lot of that stuff hadn't actually blown up yet.
No, it hadn't.
Like it has in the last 10 years.
That's just weird because we're reading this. Was 2007 when this came out.
Yeah, 7.
So.
Yeah, almost 20 years at this point.
So, yeah, 20 years ago.
And it was in the last decade where we had Pizzagate kind of blow up and things like that that are also revolving.
But I kind of wish, like, ancient missing. Deities worship. What kind do you think they're worshiping? Come on, they got to have Cthulhu in there.
Oh, I'm sure it's ancient Sumerians.
Or Mithar.
You know.
Mitra.
Gozer,
yeah. I am considered the youngest talking survivor of mind control project in modern era. I will not attack
Rosicrucians. We've covered them in other stuff before, too.
And Zionists as a whole, because I know many great and noble men in these orders who aided me in my cause to stop the horrors of the program. I count these individuals as my kinsmen. The Magi and Zoros.
Yeah, that's a really...
Zoroastrians?
Yeah, Zoroastrians.
Yeah, are known as the Muslim Illuminati and have centers in the UK such a... Then they turn down, I'm not reading off the address and the telephone number. If you want it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, it is. You can find it.
Yeah. Then he talks about the White Lotus Society is known as a Chinese Illuminati and have over 250,000 assassins working for them, 250,000 assassins. The former 32-degree Mason, Benjamin Fulford, has been in contact with me and offered me protection by the White Lotus Society if I came to the East. There is, and he goes on, he talks about that. Then he says, like, there is now open war between the two factions, between the Japanese and the Chinese, I'm assuming, because
it would be the Chinese and then the Muslim.
Oh, okay, sorry, Chinese and the Muslim.
Zoroastrians.
Yeah, because she tells you to Google Chinese secret society warns Illuminati to understand this. And the whole reason they're doing this is the because he gets into this now, he's going to talk about angels. He switches from that to this now. It starts, the fallen angels were known in Hebrew as Iron, meaning those who watch. This is translated into Greek as Gregory, meaning watchers. Other factions of these secret societies base their teachings around more Christian principles and the ancient book of Enoch. This ancient text includes accounts of the watchers, and many of the early Christian church leaders used the work from the first to third century edition. Book of Enoch, that is just got popular in the last 5 years. Holy crap.
Yeah, probably.
I'm serious. I never knew about this Book of Enoch till after we started doing right before we started doing the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of the many, but a lot of people don't realize that there are
numerous books
that were written and proposed to be in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were declined by the people who were putting together King James Bible, basically. And the Book of Enoch is one of them because it covers a lot more of the celestial end of things.
Was it Enoch Moses's father?
It's been a long time since I've read through it. But yeah,
I think the short story of Enoch is basically he went up to see God. Yeah. God picked him up in a spaceship.
Angels came down to get him in a glowing sphere.
Yeah.
And he went away and came back like
hundreds of years later.
And it was like, hey guys, what's been going on?
Yeah. Then he goes on to talk about this Rabbi Simon ben Gochai. Also worked toward the book being pushed underground when he declared that all are cursed who believe angels are flesh. However, are flesh and blood beings that physically came to earth. This is exactly what they are. However, what we know as angels are extraterrestrial beings, as anyone investigating subjects mentioned in this book start to realize. This is why the real secrets of Freemasonry are taught at the 33rd degree. The watchers you send from other planets onto Earth in ancient times onto Mount Hermon, just north of Dan Kish in the Middle East. The mountain is on the 33 parallel latitude, which is correct.
Yep.
When you reach 33rd degree of Masonry, you enter the illuminated degree and are taught the secrets of the angels. Yeah, then he goes into how conspiracy who say the Illuminati Freemasons are responsible for all the evil and corruption in the world do not know what they're talking about. At the same time, I would say that corrupt factions in these groups are responsible for much of the world's problems.
Right.
They're
not responsible for everything. But corrupt factions of them are responsible for a lot. Mm-hmm.
He goes on to ask, like this question, do the trials and initiations of Project Mannequin make an individual stronger and wiser? The answer is yes. It also leaves the individual involved with a type of bloodlust that is very dangerous, and many people involved in this project end up committing suicide, experiencing chronic drug and alcohol addiction. Many also develop depression and panic disorder later in life. At this point, I have to ask myself why I was tricked and forced to take part in high-level Rosicrucian. I think that's, rituals. He was asked why I take place in these rituals. The Illuminists will argue that only individuals change. That's what he's going to explain why they're taking the children.
Yep.
The Illuminists will argue that the only individuals trained from childhood in certain blood trials, where each level becomes more dangerous, can survive the military campaigns they will carry out as adults. They say this is not a matter of national security for any one country, but the survival of the human race. What is so horrific that a soldier must be trained from early childhood to endure? The shocking answer is Project Mannequin operates will come face to face, sometimes even in conflict situation, with malevolent and terrifying extraterrestrials and extra-dimensional life forms. These xenobreeds are so terrifying to witness that the sight of one could kill or drive insane most ordinary men. This happened in the 1960s during the infamous Dulce battle, when scientists at genetic facility were taken hostage by reptilian-like extraterrestrial life forms who had been working with the U.S. government underneath the New Mexico desert. The Special Forces team who went in for an attempted rescue had to be hypnotized and drugged to cope with the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all off of the Dulce-based story,
yep.
Which we have covered before.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, that is tied into this.
But the Dulce base came out during the 80s.
Yeah.
Mid-85, I want to say, something like that.
Yeah, it was mid-late 80s.
Yeah. So I remember hearing about that when I was still in school.
Yeah.
Because I read Omni magazine, which is I wish they still had.
Oh, yeah.
Then he goes on, he talks about Project Paperclip. This program was run by British intelligence and American organization called the OSS, Office of Strategic Service. Paperclip involved bringing the leading Nazi scientists in mind control, genetic engineering, and other technological areas to America and Britain after the Second World War. The CIA was created 2 years after this in the American National Security Act of 1947 to handle the massive number of mind control, cloning, and other covert projects that are born from Paperclip. The NSA is a sister organization of the CIA and is now a more powerful entity. In 1947 was also the year of the Roswell crash and when Israel was formed. A year later, in 1948, a genetic bloodline study was started in Britain to locate gifted children to use for espionage by the intelligence community. This was called Project Anvil, but changed its name to Project Oak Tree. In 1950, Oak Tree was under the command of the NSA by the time and was being run by Harwell Genetics Laboratories in Oxfordshire. It was connected to all major hospitals in the UK. Okay, lost my page here. Okay. Then he goes, Project Oak Tree was actually set up to locate the descendants of the tribe of Dan, which is the so-called lost tribes of Israel. These Middle Eastern people were of white skin, and the descendants are not actually lost but kept secret. Some people may have heard of the British Israelites or Gordon Brown, and Gordon Brown is heavily into this school of thought. The tribe of Dan traveled from Kish in Hebrew, which is Dan, just below Mount Hermon, went up into Greece around the time of the Exodus. In Greece, they were known as the Spartans. From Greece, they traveled to France, where they were the Merovingian priest kings and other French royal lines. From France, they traveled to Scotland, Ireland, and America. They were known as the Tuath de Dona in Ireland and Celtic clans, such as the Campbells in Scotland. They were worshippers of the goddess of energy, such as Astartes and Ishtar, and were heavily into animal shamanism, such as bird and snake mythology. The eagle is one of their symbols, and the eagle on the American coat of arms and NSA symbol represents the tribe of Dan. The owl is another of their symbols, which represents angel Ishtar.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is a lot, but some of the stuff is like, I don't know where he's grabbing from, because...
Because
there's always talk about, I can see he's pushing like toward the shamanistic thing of everything.
Yeah.
Which is, that's tying actually.
Tying into the magics.
Yeah. Because shamanistic thing is actually becoming more prevalent. Even in 2024, it's becoming more prevalent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then he goes on to talk about the bloodlines. This is a very holy bloodline. These are the tribe of Dan. With powerful psi abilities. The Luciferian religions believe that by abusing children and people of this bloodline, they are directly attacking God. The watchers had good and evil amongst them. Archangel Michael is named as a physical watcher in the Middle East in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The battle between the sons of light and the sons of darkness is mentioned in this work. This battle still rages today. Some say Project Oak Tree was ultimately looking for the human descendants of the watchers. We have to ask ourselves, why are the 12 tribes of Israel so important, and who physically seeded these bloodlines? The answer we are given in the religious institutes of the world is such as, they are God's chosen people, which will not suffice anymore. People ask why they are called the Watchers. The answer seems to be because the ability to project their consciousness out of their body and perform an ancient form of advanced remote viewing.
Right.
Okay, that's chapter two. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's again, all of his stuff. And here, like in the modern era, when they're like, oh, the angel Michael, basically, is the archangel. We have to separate the religious end of it to this, because through his view of this, they are not angelic or demonic spirit entities. They are alien, physical alien beings that were down here.
See, but now I'm going to argue this point.
Like, oh, he's bringing in all this spirituality. It's like, no, he's really not.
No.
We put it in our heads because that is our social view of it as is spiritual. But through his telling of how things are, they are not spiritual beings at all.
And I would kind of agree with that because if you actually go look at the biblical representation of an angel.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not terrifying. It's not a person. It's a Cthulhu nightmare is really what they are. Geometric
monstrosities.
They're just crazy, wild pictures of
and again, like not even 7 years ago, you couldn't say stuff like that. But now the like angels are like, you see them all the time. People are doing it.
Yep.
And they're talking about how angels aren't really humanoid looking.
Yeah, no, they're very much not. If you go with the literal interpretation of how they were described, they are not the picturesque Michael with his sword in hand, flowing mane of hair and wings.
Yeah,
no, it's like here's this triangle with these things hanging off of it.
And, 14 eyes and 27 like, wings.
Oh shit. Okay, that's a Dr. Seussian looking thing, but sure.
No. Then we're going to go into chapter 3 is the modern history of behavior modification. And he goes deep on this one. Holy cow. Yeah, I think I highlighted most of this chapter.
Yeah, it's not very long, but there's just a lot of intense shit.
That's what we're going to do. By the 1970s, a huge number of mind control products in Britain and America were underway. As they became rampant and started to affect many areas of society, during the Second World War, the Nazis were involved in creating genetically enhanced soldiers and spies with psionic and psychic abilities such as telepathy and telekinesis. They were known as Übermen, which is German for Superman. They were based their new man or race of warriors. They based their new man on a race of warriors from the Pleiades humans that he had come in contact with from Aldebrana. I want to say Alderaan so bad.
Yeah, I know.
The German scientists developed a technique at the concentration camps known as trauma-based mind control. They discovered that if you could systematically traumatize an individual, particularly before the age of 5, their mind would shatter into different parts, which German doctors called alters. When the torture or terror became intolerable, the person's mind will disassociate itself from pain, and an alter will be created. These alters can be then programmed by the torture to carry out almost any task. From my understanding, the limit is reached when operatives are ordered to kill their own children. Why in the hell would you? Well, this is Nazis you're talking about.
They did everything just to see if they could.
Yeah. Old occult books were researched, such as the Egyptian Book of Dead and the Necronomicon. I used to have a copy of that.
I do have a copy.
Oh, you do have a copy? Yep. Okay. I think I do too. No, I'll have to look when I get home. The Nazi scientists also discovered that when an individual was traumatized and tortured, they developed almost superhuman abilities, such as a huge pain tolerance, photographic memory, and psi abilities. The ancient rites of Satanism were often used, and these rituals usually involved snakes. Through my own experiences and talking to other survivors, a common theme is coming up time and time again. Being bitten by a poisonous snake and rituals to transmute the poison and enhance the immune system. Much of the product involved being taken to the point of death and then revived. Kathy O'Brien, in her book Transformation of America, it's like trance, the formation, calls some of the CI programming centers near-death training centers. The snake ritual often finished with the participant being buried alive with their fear. This involves being put in a coffin with a number of large snakes and then being buried in the ground and left there for hours. When dug up, the subject has gone beyond fear, according to the handlers. Where's that sound? Does that sound familiar? I don't know if the skull and crossbones kind of dug it out from that.
Right.
Plus, it's funny, too. I'm not for sure of this. If there's any LARP guys out there, I've heard during LARP training, they do that. They put you in a box to see how much stress you can take.
Oh, gotcha.
And they got a tube and they bury you and they put you in a tube and they leave you and just walk away. They want to see how much stress you can take.
The reality is you're not going to die from this.
No.
But your body, your head and shit does not acknowledge that. You're trapped underground.
And when I mean LARP, I mean long-range reconnaissance patrol people. Yeah. They're like, they're pretty badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. They're
nobody
not
to mess with.
Yeah. They sit for some tough shit.
Yeah. Then this ancient technique that was a technique. Ancient technique that was used in Egypt and many other places, a child would be picked as a candidate for a certain mystery school. Schools use more compassionate training methods. But all of them involve facing fears and danger at the upper level. Similar to what he did in the three-room Atrium ritual and Project Mannequin. In the first room, they are asked questions by the master, such as, do you wish to know the mystery of your being? If the initiate says yes, they are then taken into the second room. In this room, they are shown such magical secrets as ancient artifacts. After they look at it for a little bit, they're taken in the third room. They had to pass a dangerous test, such as fighting another mystery school member or a wild animal. People that they kind of hunted for were Celtic people, practiced psychic phenomena for generations and ancient rituals. Modern individuals and families of these old bloodlines made the most suitable candidates for trauma-based mind control because although they may have not practiced psi abilities, these abilities were still in the person's genetic memory from their ancestors. See, the part that gets me is just where he mentions genetic memory from their ancestors. This is in 2007.
Yeah.
Again, genetic memories has not been really bought up to like the last 5 years.
Right. Not in people. No. We'd been figuring out with animals. It's like, how do these animals are born knowing how to do this? And it's something genetically that they are predisposed to do.
But even in the animal, the science kingdom.
They're still not sure exactly how
but it works. But no, I'm just saying, never was mentioned to like really prevalent to like five years ago. Before you never even heard about it. They're like, they just know how to do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, maybe it is genetics.
Yeah.
Then he goes to talk about, oh, the great man. I mean, this is sarcasm, folks.
Right.
They're going to talk. He starts talking about Joseph Mengele and the infamous angel of death from the Auschwitz concentration camp, stayed at the Tavistock Mind Control Institute in London. When British intelligence brought him here after the Second World War, one of the main projects of the Tavistock Institute was to find the breaking point of human beings in a trauma-based mind control. The Mengele grid is programmed into the victim using torture and other methods. A type of electromagnetic grid would be incorporated into the brain, and this would affect the brain waves. Excuse me. With the use of cranial implants, an artificial alpha wave transmission could be sustained in horrific situations. This would enable the operator to stay completely calm in intense situations. I had something here, but I just totally lost it. Which you could break down to altars. These altars are also programmed with post-ignom suggestions to forget the task afterward. Only handlers of the mind control project can call forth different altars, as only they know the correct hypnotic code, triggers, and keys to do so. Then he goes into the true origins of trauma-based mind control. This is not fun, folks.
There's some dark shit that he covers.
Yeah.
Really dark.
Over the years, many victims of these mind control projects and government personnel have reported witnessing different types of what can only be described as non-human creatures in various underground facilities around the world. This begs the question, are these creatures some kind of strange human-animal hybrid or other military genetic creations that were carried on from the Nazi genetic manipulation work? Or are they extraterrestrial beings from different planets and star systems? The simple answer is both. My colleagues and I have witnessed and communicated with these beings up close and personal. It is important to understand that the upper levels of German Nazi government, the U.S. government, and British government were not only aware of ET at the time of the Second World War, but were actively working alongside them. This has been going even before the Second World War in the 1930s. The following is a brief summary of modern history of government's involvement with ETs.
This I found interesting.
Yeah.
If it's true,
it makes a lot of damn sense.
Fucking wild, but.
Mm-hmm. Extraterrestrials and the government treaties. On July 11, 1934, the first treaty between the beings, which have become known as the small grays, which are approximately 3.5 foot gray beings with large wraparound eyes from the Orion star system, and the U.S. federal government under President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, occurred aboard the naval ship in the port city of Balboa, Panama. Okay, switch pages here. Although they are beloved Zetas, Zetans, Grays. These entities did not have humanity's best interests at heart. It was here that the agreement was first made between the Greys, who were actually representing a race of reptilian-like beings from the Draco star system. The representatives of the U.S. intelligence community, the treaty stated that in return for the Greys providing high technology, the U.S. federal government would allow the Greys to proceed to proceed unhindered with human abductions for use in the ongoing ET genetic program. The Americans stated they would only agree to the terms if a list of abductees was provided to the government and the abductees returned unharmed with their memories of the event erased. The Greys provided anti-gravity devices, metals and alloys, environment, free energy, and medical technology in return for this. These Greys basically said they would provide this hardware in exchange for being allowed to infiltrate human society on all levels. This they did, and started to replace important world leaders with clones under their control. 7 years after this treaty, in 1941, the Greys approached the German government and Hitler. A treaty was then arranged with the Nazis. The Greys offered mind control and other technologies to the Germans, and in return wanted human subjects to conduct their genetic experiments on. Approximately 20 people in the U.S. and Germany at the time have been directly involved with the Grey human treaties. The information was kept on a strictly need-to-know basis within the government's secret service. Many missing people end up at these facilities and are used as slave labor test subjects there in the large underground concentration camp under the Salisbury Plain in Wiltshire. NSA and Department of Energy contact his... Okay, now he's going to talk about one of his contacts here. NSA and Department of Energy... contact was named Dean Warwick, who died on a stage in suspicious circumstances at a Probe International conference in Blackpool. Dean worked at the Los Alamos and Alamogordo underground facilities in New Mexico Desert. Dean also worked at an underground facility in Hawaii. He said Greys and reptilians walk around the Los Alamos facility and also witnessed human test subjects in cages there. Employees at these facilities go through a process known as desensitization. I cannot talk. why do I pick words that have like multiple syllables? This is an ongoing thing in this podcast. I need to go learn how to read better.
Oh, you're going to hate this one coming up.
Shut up. Before they were allowed in high security areas where they may come across ETs, the disturbing tests going on. In desensitization, the employees are injected with the drugs of scopolamine, an accelerated learning drug, and shown video footage of ETs and horrific scenes of torture and death to enable them to withstand the things they will see. It is mostly the short grays that employees of the underground bases will come across, as Draco reptilians keep themselves away from human interaction most of the time. Dean was subcontracted by the NSA in the late 1980s and worked for them until 1992. He was a senior electrical engineer at Los Alamos facility. He told me there was now over 4,000 underground bases worldwide. Many of them have ETs in the high security lower levels. And one of his contacts named X5 also said the underground concentration camps in America and Britain are known as D4 facilities, deep underground military prisons. The major base worldwide are mainly under the control of NSA and are classified D1, which means deep underground military bases, D2, deep underwater military bases, D3, deep under mountain military bases, and D4, deep underground military prisons. The Grey and Draco reptilian ETs working together with upper levels of different countries' governments is known by the intelligence insiders as MICE, Military Industrial Extraterrestrial Complex. Another NSA contact, X3, told me that a global Masonic apparatus above 33 degree is controlling upper levels of many governments of the world. The 33rd degree is officially the highest Masonic degree, but in reality, there are many degrees above this. George W. Bush Sr. is reported to be above the 42nd degree. Well, he's passed now. He's in the ground.
Yeah.
And is deeply entrenched with mice. Insiders also refer to that mice as octopus. Now, this is what I talked about. Just this last 6 months, about this Danny Castellaro on Netflix. I wish you had it because it's called the Octopus Murders.
Oh.
They talk about this guy.
Really? Now we are supposed to be getting it here again, at least for a month or two. So I will. I've got to hammer down and get caught up on everything I've missed in the last fucking year.
Yeah, because it's. I watched it. I got to watch it again because I was like, I fell asleep because I was really tired.
I get it.
But I'm like, this is
interesting
on Netflix. Just again, this is all 2007, and yeah. He just got the octopus. There's like tinfoil hat,
right?
Podcast. Their guy there was talking about this guy all the time in the last 5 years. Before that, no one even heard of him.
Right.
Now he's got a Netflix movie on it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the tentacles are like hollow that's spread throughout.
Yep.
Okay. As Micey began to expand in the early 40s, the second extension of the 1934 Gray and U.S. Government Treaty was signed in 1944. This treaty was renewed every 10 years from 1934 to 1964, and the treaties are still being renewed today. He talks about this guy, Dr. Dan Burgess of Area 51, informed the public that one of the most recent treaties goes by the code name of Tau, with a specific number after the word. I was given permission in writing by a rep of Majestic to approach Dr. Borsch face-to-face in Las Vegas to discuss a biowarfare test I saw conducted on civilians at Wiltshire Underground Facility. Then he skips down to 1944. Much infighting and chaos broke out in the human government fractions of the mice. Factions that are loyal to the people of the planet were battling it out with factions that didn't care about the people and just wanted as much technology as they could get their hands on, as well as assassinations and cover-up. The most important part of the battlefield was information warfare. Positive mice factions would leak information into the public about the true ET situation, and then negative factions would come behind them and cover it up with damage containment and psychological warfare programs for the public known as chicken feed. Chicken feed still goes on today and has become more complex and confusing without wires, intel speak, or inside connections. It is almost impossible to know what is really going on in the world, and the NSA is all over the internet. They are buying up independent journalism who are not part of the controlled mainstream media to spread this disinformation campaigns. I believe that.
Yeah, this is something.
That's hard facts right there. This is
something that's been going around even since Roswell the late 40s that we know of things coming out, which is why it's so hard, like we've mentioned before, to sift through what's bullshit and what's real. Because it's like things come out and it's like, oh, this sounds really good, but was this put out here intentionally because it sounds good and it's bullshit?
No, I wish we had a way back machine. We go back to 2007, and if we had the podcast back in 2007, we would have read this. We would have been laughing our asses off because this will never fucking happen.
Yeah, there's something on here.
2024, and we're like,
come on,
what?
Yeah, it's.
He's going into Hollywood. Hollywood is a major vehicle for this, and the protocol seems to be this. Any details of a covert project leaked out or made into a film or included in sections of films so the uneducated public dismisses all the information as science fiction.
Which, yeah, we've made mention of before as well.
Then they mention this actor. I don't know who this actor is. A friend of the actor, Dan Aykroyd, has helped me with some of the information in this book. This man is a member, not Dan Aykroyd. This man is a member of the U.S. intelligence community and has helped Dan write film scripts. He is interested in developing a film script based on my life, but nothing has been set in stone when it comes to Hollywood. I would actually like be interested.
I would have too before.
Yeah. Then he goes to talk about GLP. Godlike Productions, a public internet forum. This site has millions of... I just looked it up tonight. It actually is a website.
Yep.
And they have you sign a contract before you can even go on there.
Right.
This site has millions of users, but it is controlled by moderators of the Tavistock Institute. This is basically a large room full of computer intel geeks at a facility in Tabernacle Street in London. They control the flow of information here. I posted sensitive information there and had my mother's address and St. Ives put on a thread with indirect threats on her life. I've also had some intel guy with a conscience give me a list of my father's European drug traffic routes when he was alive. Add to this, there has been unmarked helicopters pretending to dive bomb my flat 2 hours after posting remote viewing techniques there.
Yeah. And again, I don't find that hard to believe. I think there are a lot of big open talk sites that are very much not just moderated and watched, but completely run by intelligence agencies that are gathering whatever.
I would have to agree with you wholeheartedly there. Let's see. Broken Promises, this section. By 1944, the Gray Human Treaty was showing signs of stress, as it was discovered that Grays were abducting more people than they were putting on the government list. Geez, that's a government general.
Shocker. Wait, that's something we do. You can't do that to us.
In May 1954, under the Eisenhower administration, the third extension of Gray and U.S. government treaty was signed, the Grenada Treaty, which we've covered on here.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, I'm going to interject this here. His, he has a granddaughter. Eisenhower has a granddaughter. Yeah. And she totally is legitimately believes that this happened.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole chunk of time where he had gone out on vacation out of nowhere. And for like 48 hours.
Yeah, he had to have his tooth fixed.
Yeah, for 48 hours, no one had any knowledge of his whereabouts.
Where the standing president was at.
He was gone. It was 24 or 48 hours. Yeah. He was completely off the grid. Nobody knew where he was. Couldn't get a hold of him. And then he came back. He was like, oh, no, everything's cool.
I got to get my tooth fixed on the boat.
Yeah, everything's cool. It's fine.
The Ryan Grays and Draco Reptilians blatantly broke the terms, as we shall see later in the book. The Grenada Treaty was agreed upon under the Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico by the Grays and the Ultra Unit of NSA. The name of the facility under Holloman Air Force Base was codenamed Dandelion, although this may have changed now. The Ultra Unit was one of the most elite and super-secret NSA factions at the time and ran by Project Paperclip Nazis who were part of the NSA after 1944. All Ultra members are cloned human beings. You got the bold underlying exclamation point. Pancake!
Hi, baby.
Jeez, Pancake, you need to go on the treadmill more. The original document of this treaty and original ET materials from it can be found today on NSA facility called Blue Moon. Blue is a code word meaning extraterrestrial related. Blue Moon is an underground facility beneath Kirkland Air Force Base in New Mexico. The entrance to this base is the Manzano Mountains. Inside Blue Mountain is the technology headquarters for every secret Department of Energy, which today, the Department of Energy at Blue Moon is building free energy. Okay. Today, the Department of Energy at Blue Moon is building free energy devices developed from Gray and Draco Reptilian technology for use in space. Many advanced base-based weapons have been built, as well as mice insider Dr. Bill Daigle was told by the director of the U.S. Space Command that they control every cubic centimeter of space between here and Mars.
See, now, the crazy thing with this is, especially at this time, 07.
Yeah.
06, basically, is when he was writing it. It came out in 07. He's talking about space-based weapons. At that point, we had no real space presence other than NASA astronauts going up to the mission. And here, what, 6 years ago, we created a space force out of nowhere. We're just like, here's a new branch, it's Space Force. We're like, what, we don't have stuff to do that. Maybe we do. You know? Maybe we do.
The director also told Bill that they have weapons that would make George Lucas drool if he knew about them. Trillions of dollars have been spent on this technology over the decades since the first modern gray and human treaties were started. Bill Daigle points out this is not just one government administration or transnational corporations involved in these areas. He says we are dealing with malevolent evil on a galactic level.
Yeah.
Dr. Bill told me on the phone that he worked with employees of the underground facility in the U.S. who were suffering from post-traumatic distress disorder of witnessing ET, human hybrids, and other horrors in these bases. See, that malevolent evil on a galactic level, I've heard that mentioned somewhere recently in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Who was that? Orange Man Bad said the same damn exact words.
Oh, yeah. Exactly those words.
He says we are may have to, he said, he didn't say we are. He said we may have to deal with malevolent evil on a galactic level.
Which was part of his, I believe that was tied in with his creating of Space Force.
Yeah.
Wow. And I would even go to say there's a lot of this kind of stuff, because there's been Every time there's a new president, you have a rush, at least since probably Carter.
Yeah.
A rush of people like, oh, tell us if there's really aliens. And there's a lot of the stuff I honestly don't think the presidents aren't told. Mm-hmm. Simply because this is such a high level of security. A president doesn't mean much because they are just president, a president's like your assistant thing.
Manager at a restaurant.
They are not entrenched. They are not there for life. You have 8 years max. They don't need to know this information because they are not going to be there in 20 years to fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
So they give them only what they have to have and go, there you go. Go play over there in your Oval Office.
In your little sandbox.
You go have fun over there. Just, yeah, there's nothing to see here. And I think there have been a few, so, like Eisenhower, Roosevelt, I think because they were there at, you know, these step one kind of procedures where they had to be involved.
Yep.
But yeah, most of them since I don't think have even been clued in on any of this shit going on.
Now, this next section I find really interesting because he talks about one piece of technology. Good Lord, I need to quit smoking. He goes into some of the technology we got from the Greys and Dracos and all the aliens. Technology exists that's called thermo-optic camouflage that can render a Secret Service man invisible to the naked eye. It is a small device that can be worn on a belt and activated at will. A Secret Service man can also be put through a thermo-optic field and will become invisible to the naked eye for over 48 hours. There is no need to carry the thermo-optic hardware around if you are put through the field. However, after 48 hours is up, the agent starts to phase back into sight and becomes violently ill for a short time.
Yeah.
This reminds me so much of the recent Predator sighting, or Glimmer Man, whatever you want to call
him. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's got out in the public more.
Yeah.
The military advancements, and it goes into this, Project Pluto. With each human treaty, the government were becoming more advanced, and there were now groups of people that were literally thousands of years more advanced than the civilian population. For every 1 year that goes by since the start of these treaties, military technology advanced by over 50 years. I heard it best from Phil Snyder, who said that every now and then the public gets a new computer or some other piece of technology from the mice, but these are just little trinkets similar to when the early white American settlers would give beads to the Indians.
I don't
agree that at all. I have no problem with that. On April 5th, 1964, two intelligence personnel met under Project Pluto with the Greys in the New Mexico desert to arrange a meeting on April 25th at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. This meeting was to renew the treaty that had started in 1934 again, and it was a psychological bid to buy time in order to solve the problems of the Greys and Draco reptilians. The upper levels of U.S. intelligence now believe that the Greys and Dracos had this planet timetable for invasion and takeover between the year 2000 and 2030.
Yeah.
I've heard all them numbers so many fucking times. I have come across huge amounts of evidence that many Grey and Draco reptilians may have actually been on this planet since at least the time of ancient Babylon. They may have been covertly subverting the human surface population over a long period of time in preparation for return of the fearsome Draco Prime Overlord from Alpha Draconis. Yeah. And there's just like, either this guy did a lot of research on Babylon and Assyrian history because there's mention of it. Then you have the Ubi in Africa. Yep. They mentioned reptilian people.
Well, even going into modern day, we have stories of reptilians under big populations out in... Grand Canyon.
It just, yeah. Then he jumps back to 18. He's jumping way in the way back.
Yeah.
We're going back to 1887, folks. 1887, several disc-shaped crafts were observed in the sky. In 1887, U.S. President Grover Cleveland created a secret committee to investigate these objects. He secretly funded the 5-member group. Grover Cleveland was the only U.S. president to serve 2 non-consecutive terms. He was the 22nd and 24th president of the United States from 1885 to 1889, then again 1893 to 1897. A team run by the 5-member group called the Suits, as they wore black suits, questioned many witnesses. Members of the press were contacted and asked not to report the sightings to the public. John C. Carlisle, Speaker of the House, headed the five-man committee and advised the advised the president not to release the information until the facts were understood. The more the information they gathered, the more they realized this was a job too big for a small committee. Benjamin Harrison became the 23rd president, and John Carlisle retired as Speaker of the House to devote this time to strange discraft. The secret committee then became a secret division of the U.S. government called the Central Group. The Central Group headquarters was set up in tunnels below Washington, D.C., codenamed the Land of Knot. See, I've heard that before this. Land of Knot, I've heard that in this whole conspiracy circle.
Well, Knot originally refers to
giants.
The people of Nod in biblical times, they were basically cast out. A lot of them, I think, were people that Cain eventually went to the land of Nod because he was kicked out for killing his brother
Abel,
and was basically cursed to walk the rest of eternity across the land, and he ended up going to the Land of Nod, which were evil, sinning people that had been cast out from the rest of.
If you want a good movie about Cain, go watch Henry Rollins' movie. He's in a movie. I can't remember the name of it, but Henry Rollins is in a movie. That's awesome.
It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Most of the federal government did not know about the Central Group. At this time, England began seeing flying crafts. 1896, the English skies were full of glowing orbs that crisscrossed the sky in day and night. Queen Victoria appointed a secret group to investigate these flying objects, and secret studies in England led to contact the Central Group in the U.S. They quickly joined forces and became the United Nations Intelligence and Tactical Agency for Aerial Phenomenon, or Central Unit. How come I don't... Whatever. Okay. AAP, also known as UNTAP and UNTAP, one with two A's, one with one A. UNTAP was divided into four sections. Their symbol was a red cross within a circle, which was associated with the planet Mars. In 1933, Central Unit, AAP, was officially shortened to the codename Central Unit. Later, this name was leaked in England, and a cover story was created involving various science fiction stories to cover the real activities of UNIT.
If you go back to... Third Doctor.
Yep.
So like late 60s, a lot of his was all based on helping UNIT on Earth soil because the TARDIS was damaged and they couldn't. Mainly they said it's because their budget sucked and they couldn't do crazy sci-fi stuff. So they were all based with UNIT fighting off aliens on Earth.
Who's from Doctor Who, since we're on this tangent now? Who was the guy in the World War II guy that was on the Kandai? Jack Harkness.
Oh, Harkness. Yeah.
Harkness.
Hell yeah.
He deals a lot with UNIT too.
Yeah. And they eventually evolved into Torchwood.
Yeah.
Torchwood. That's what they became in the series.
We can't piss off any Whovians if there's any out there.
I love Torchwood, man. That was a good series. Jack was great.
After this time, the ET and human treaties unit took control of the central core of the National Security Council. NSA, CIA, and Office of Naval Intelligence, other study groups were hired to go get deeper into the flying disk matter, such as Jason Scholar Group, Project Rand, and Page Research. These groups were connected to MAJIC, Majestic Agency of Joint Intelligence Command, also known as MAJESTIC. MAJIC security codes were MAJIC, UMBRA, Critical, Ultra, and ULTRA. ULTRA was above top secret. There is talk of introducing a new code word for classification, such as Corona, Aimpoint, Hypernova, and ARC. In 1951, there was a Majestic meeting in Paris, France, in which the organization expanded to take in other countries. The cover was Majestic was a magnetic journey studies. Majestic is also known as MJ-12. They met with key powers in 12 countries, the U.S., England, France, Germany, Canada, Denmark, Russia, Sweden, Norway, Poland, Greenland, and Colombia, with links to other countries in South and Central America.
Yes.
A lot of this, okay, let's quick review of this chapter. Yeah, it's like, it's hard not to, I've said this a lot, but it's hard just not to believe this stuff, because some of it, because this was all, yeah, I'm trying to look at the context of this was written in 2007.
Yeah. Now, some of this stuff was already out there.
Yeah.
In the zeitgeist, if you will, of the public and conspiracy theorists and what have you. But there's some of it was not really adopted, I guess you would say, by a lot of people studying this until later. Because it was just almost too far out there. You know what I mean? And I do find that section of his stuff really interesting. Like most people who listen to the show, when we do stuff, I will go back and do old history type links into weird shit because it's fascinating to me. But yeah, no, a lot of this, like there's a section in here he actually talks about he had mentioned, and I think you had mentioned it on here, the benevolent Pleiadian aliens, and they are the taller, blonde haired, more human looking.
Yeah.
Ones that they are stories, especially back, you had a lot of my 50s and 60s of people running into them.
Actually, the 70s too, because they were out in the desert, like the California desert, saying, oh, don't blow up the world.
Right, right. But yeah, no, it's interesting because those guys actually came to the U.S. to try to make a deal with us, and we went, that farther in?
Yeah, that's further in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's interesting actually who they go to. And I was like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
This is a weird juxtaposition. That'll be next week.
We'll talk about those guys. Right,
yeah. It's a weird juxtaposition of
who's
lining up with who. But, yeah, no, it's just super interesting. Like I said, I love the shit going back before. Because typically when we talk about anything involving UFOs, it's pretty much a start of 45, 46 with Kenneth Arnold sightings.
Roswell.
You have earlier stuff with Foo Fighters, which we did a show a little while ago on. But yeah, it really doesn't, the modern talk of UFOs and aliens doesn't really kick off until after the Roswell explosion.
Yep.
Literally and figuratively explosion. But yeah, this is going like, oh no, they were fucking dealing with these guys in the 30s, man. Even before World War II kicked off, they were doing this before Hitler came into power, because he didn't come into power till like 37, 38, 39.
Yep.
Yeah, no, they were already in talks with these guys. So when that crashed, we knew fucking damn well what that was, you know? We knew damn well what landed on poor Brazel's farm. Yeah. It's like, oh.
It was Project Mogul.
Yeah, yeah.
With tinfoil.
And the poor guys, like, why can't I think of the poor military guy who posted this first and then basically had to go back and go, no, this is what you saw.
Oh, yeah, the Air Force guy?
Yeah, Ramey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's basically made to look like a fool because he had no idea what this was. He actually found this, got brought in, and they're like, oh, no, this is what you had. Hold this balsa wood up and this fucking tinfoil.
Yeah.
That's what you found, dude. Like, no. Oh, no. Because, yeah, they knew damn well for almost, 15 years at that point that, we know what this is. But, it's just, like I said, his story is so wild that it's almost like, would you be making up shit this wild? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're in your right mind, would you be making up this story this?
And there is kernels of truth in there. There's a little kernels.
I have to believe there are. Yeah. It just, and like I said, bear with us, folks. We find this interesting. This is another one of our multi-parts.
Yeah.
It just has
to. We swore never to do this again, but.
Typically we try not to do multi-parts, but there are sometimes, literally, it is a stack almost an inch of just papers we've got printed up going through all of his stuff, plus
some other stuff.
Fallout from the aftermath of this and other things that are people and things that are tied into this. But it's a fucking lot. And it's.
So bear with
potentially
us.
Either just a really good story. Or a very important fucking thing. Yeah. You know, that is how I have to go into it.
Because we'll give them a foreshadowing.
Yeah, right.
This precursor now, holy cow, Pancake, you die?
Yeah, that's probably here.
Oh, geez Louise, man. Good thing we don't have smell-o-vision. Holy cow. But the fallout from this is happening today in 2024.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are still
there's modern happening to. The story correlates to 2024.
Yeah, there's things that are repercussions that are like, oh, shit. Like I said, we've even mentioned this earlier in the show. If we had been reading through all of this
In 2007?
In 06, 07.
We would have been laughing.
We probably would have been like, oh, man, really? You're just pulling the shit out of your ass. But there is some of this stuff. Like I said, there are some of the things, like the Dulce bass mentioned, had already previously occurred. So he could have taken that and been like, oh, running with Dulce bass. Area 51 mentions things like that. But there are some other odd little things that are in there that
I wonder really if Unit was mentioned in 2007.
I don't know.
I'm about to look that up for next week.
Like I said, my only knowledge of Unit is the fictional version that was put out in the UK, you know, previously to that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember anything about something referred to as Unit other than, check out my Unit, dude. Yeah, I don't want to see it. And, yeah, will you cut me? I'm a meat geezer. Yeah. You know, that old game. Yep. The damn Marine friends. They're just the worst. I love them.
So we've already been talking for over an hour.
That's freaking wild. But, yeah, no, it's just, like I said, bear with us. We find this fascinating as hell. Yep. Like I said, it's either a really fantastic, crazy, wild story, or it is vastly important. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's really there's only two ways to go with it.
Yep.
It is either a very important thing and
you what's guys happened. Are the judge of this. We're just we're just putting it out
there. We just throw it out there for you to look and look up yourself to be like, oh man, I want to check more of this out. Because there is things that we have actually skipped over.
Yeah.
Where we're just like, okay, yeah, we're not getting into that. It's interesting, but not super pertinent to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating as hell to me.
All right, so you got anything else for these folks? I'd say fascinating 22 times in the last 3 minutes.
No, I would say go check out Civil War, though.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Did really you see it?
Movie. I did. Spur of the moment this weekend.
Oh.
It is very good. Not what I expected out of the movie, but it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
No, but
very good.
Yeah. At least, I want to go see it, but.
Yeah, it was either going to, it literally like Sunday afternoon, I was like, ugh, I'm restless, I'm bored, don't want to do anything. Yeah, I was either going to go to that at Ghostbusters at like 1 o'clock and started at 1:20. That's how spur of the moment I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go see this movie. I want to see some violence. And yeah, I was not prepared for that fucking movie. But yeah, no, fantastic. If you get a chance, go see it. It's all Alex Garland film. Love Alex Garland stuff. And it's more of his
basically kind of from what I read about it, either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
There's no happy medium.
I've read a bunch of reviews on it, and I have my own personal opinion of all the negative reviews of what they said about it. But no, I really like it. It's not what you think it is. No. This movie is not. It's fantastic, jarring, horrifying, and just really
realistic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But it, like I said, it has a lot of the same Alec Garland little touches of things that I didn't even really piece together. Because like a movie like this, big action movie, I don't really think too much of it after I leave the theater. But a movie like this where there is more to it, I will, as I'm driving home and then get home and thinking about different parts of the movie, like, and I start piecing little things that he does, or I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. Mm. I see what you did here to manipulate my thoughts on this. And this is and it's fantastic. It just blows me away. I love his fucking movies. But yeah, no, I recommend seeing it. It's definitely not a kid's movie. Like I said, it's not for everybody.
No.
This movie is not for everybody. But it's really good. It's worth the 2 hours.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.